Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Is this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the course of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Bob, thank you very much indeed for that reading to us. Good morning, everyone. Heather and I have been very fortunate in the past couple of weeks, in so much as we've been on holiday, a late summer holiday. And the talk that I've prepared, I actually sat in the sun in Cyprus and prepared the first part of it. I'd never been there before, and I was taken aback and sort of awestruck in a way by the fact that here I was sitting preparing a talk in the very place that someone in Scripture, Paul, had done exactly the same thing. Not the particular letter or things that we've just heard read to us, that was probably written in prison. But earlier in Paul's life, he travelled on his first journey to Cyprus, and there he spoke about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh, that's quite an act to follow. That's quite a, that puts you in your place. And I hope very much this morning that what I'm able to say to you reflects what maybe Paul felt too as he communicated the good news. I'm also aware that as it's Remembrance Sunday, I've got a limited time slot, and that's probably to your considerable relief. I'm not planning to go on very long. But nevertheless, I think in the passage that we've had read to us, which is really probably very familiar to many of you, there's a lot of really important truths. So I'm going to stop preambling. You always get a bit at the beginning, which has got not a lot to do with what you're going to say. It helps get the sound levels right, and it gets you used to the speaker's voice. So shut up introducing it, Pete. Get on with it. Right you are. I've recently been challenged by the concept of entitlement. That word and different forms of essentially the same thing come up a great deal. It seems that increasingly we live in a world where people are driven by their entitlement to whatever they want. We hear it on a global scale that one nation is entitled to build and test nuclear weapons, that another nation is entitled to be great again. We hear it in the news where, sadly, in the past, people have felt entitled to indulge themselves at the expense of other people. We see it in the sports field where, if a referee or an umpire makes a decision, Someone is entitled to contest it and to question it. And in my former work field, we see it at school, where students are entitled to just check whether the examiners were correct in awarding them the marks that they did. And we hear it in day-to-day conversation, where people know their rights or have the right to do this or that. And I'm challenged by the extent to which that concept of entitlement distorts basically how life should be. Because what entitlement does is put us, the nation, or the individual, or the group of individuals, at the center of things. In other words, that entitlement makes the individual the focus of all that goes on. And I question whether that is how life should be. And it's the issue that Paul picks up on in this final chapter of his letter to the Philippians that we've been studying. And it's the focus of our reading today, that entitlement ultimately will lead to a broken world. That if one group of people feels entitled to something and another group of people entitled to something else, they will clash and they will break. That if one person in a relationship feels entitled to one way of doing things and another to another, that relationship is fractured. And Paul looks at actually how life might better be. One of the phrases that I use a lot in trying to talk about this is the phrase living as God intended. I think it's a way of describing what we might think of as heaven on earth. What Jesus came to demonstrate and what his followers, Paul included, have tried so hard over time to communicate. And in our passage this morning, Paul outlines how we, as followers of Christ, and how the Philippians to whom he was writing, this young church in Caesarea Philippi, might better live their lives. And he gives us a very clear set of guidelines as to how we should conduct ourselves and ultimately, therefore, live as God intended. Now, in truth, I could probably stop there. It's so straightforward that I could say, look, your homework for the weekend, guys, is to go home and get the book out and read it and think about it yourselves. Job done. But I can't really be that short. So bear with me if I talk about them a little bit. Paul has now in the passage, if you've got your Bibles, you might have them open in front of you, a series of what are called Paul's exhortations. I don't know that there are many of us who make a practice of exhorting terribly often, but I think that we can see them as being things which he passionately believes and really wants to communicate. Paul gives us a series of directions to follow if we are to become the people that God wants us to be, both individually in our day-to-day lives and collectively as his church. And there are five of them, very straightforward, five exhortations. The first one, settle disputes. Paul makes reference in the passage to a particular dispute between two people. We don't really know who they are. But clearly, it has come to his attention that within the church to whom he is writing, there has been disagreement. And Paul is saying in verses 2 and 3, look, can you just get over yourselves and settle that dispute? I think we can be assured that it was probably something to do with entitlement. One person, perhaps representing just themselves or a group of people, wanted something, felt entitled to something to be done their way. Somebody else, their way. And they were at odds. And Paul said, look, the first thing you can do, you can't move on unless you settle your differences. And he challenged others in that community to say, look, you guys can't move on either if these people are arguing, if you don't get in there and help them settle them. So the first thing, settle disputes. And I challenge all of us, myself included, that if there are individuals with whom you have disputes, or if you are part of a group of people who has something at odds with another group of people, whether it be in the work life, the home, the church, wherever it is, to live as God intended, settle those disputes. And if you're not sure how to do it, talk to God about it. Involve a mediator. But sort out the differences. You can't move on. We can't move on without settling disputes. Exhortation number one. Exhortation number two. Be content with what God gives. Always and always. In researching through this passage, a number of commentators said this verse, verse 4, is the most important verse in this letter to the Philippians. Perhaps it's one of the most important sentences that Paul wrote. It comes in different translations, different versions, in different ways, but essentially, rejoice in the Lord always. And because to make his point and to ram it home, if something's quite important to Paul, he always repeats it. He immediately says, and again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So rejoice. It's not a 21st century word necessarily. It's not something that we necessarily do. I'm waking up this morning to feel like rejoicing. But the essence of it is something which, again, we need to be aware of and encouraged. It means to be full of joy. Kate made reference earlier to the fact that we had a men's event yesterday evening called Lionheart Courageous for God, and it was fantastic. We didn't know what to expect. We'd been planning this over the past 8 months or so from a vision that a member of a local church, Reigate Baptist Church, had. And we were thrilled to join together to hear a speaker from another church, from Purley, and to enjoy worshiping together. And it was fantastic to join with about 170 men from this locality. And the speaker in that talk used that same phrase again. He was talking about one of the Psalms, and he said how important it was for Christian people, for people who know and love Jesus Christ, to rejoice, to be pleased about it, to be full of joy. And again, the challenge is there for us. Do we, in how we conduct ourselves, how we go out of our front doors, into our workplace, communicate with other people, do we rejoice in the Lord always? I don't think I always do. It's not always easy on a dull November day to rejoice. but it's the most important thing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Take pleasure. Be full of joy. Delight. And then thirdly, Paul goes on and says, be gentle. Again, I've just written down in my notes here, be gentle. Verse 5, I'm not. Well, that's honest, I hope. It's something that we need, to work on. Some people we recognize and we know and we understand. They're really gentle people. They might use another word. Aren't they lovely? Aren't they kind? Whatever. Again, it's an exhortation. Be gentle. I'm not convinced always in how he writes and when you read what he writes, but you'd necessarily accredit Paul with being gentle. And sometimes perhaps you need to be written in there, this is something that I need to do too. So gentleness is an attribute. Living as God intended is living gently and being gentle. And then a longer one, but one which perhaps we know well and we find so hard. Do not worry. And then Paul goes on about prayer. Do not worry, but in my version, but be constant in contact with God. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, all in verse 6. And again, how do we do this? One of the things that the speaker wrote last night was, put your hand up if you've got prayer sorted out. And of course, nobody did. And it's one of those big high fences in the Christian life that sometimes we think, oh, we're never going to get over that one, we're never going to sort out prayer. And sometimes I have a little word in my head that says, I don't know that God wants it to be that hard. I don't know that God wants prayer to be an obstacle to living as God intends. So maybe I simplify things too much, but I just will twist it around a little bit and say, in your life, are you constantly aware that you can communicate with God? And do you somehow, sometimes? Because I think that's what God intends. God says, I want to be part of what you are. And if you're going to live as I would like you to, I want you to know that you include me in it. So when you go for a walk and you see something beautiful, a sky or a view, do you thank God for it? Or if you've got a difficulty at work, do you ask God, help me deal with this? Or if your children are giving you delight because they've done well at school or they're just fun to be with, do you say, thank you, God? And if your children are being a pain, do you sometimes say, just help sort this out, God? That to me is prayer. That to me is having God in our lives. By prayer, thanksgiving and petition. Putting God in there. It's a bit like saying, if you want to have a relationship, have a true friendship, how can you have a friendship or a relationship if you never talk to the person that you call your friend? It doesn't work that way. And yet God is so much more than that. And can be so much more. And Paul is saying, involve God. And focus on God. Communicate with him. And Paul is adding, look, if you do that and you acknowledge how important God is, how powerful and how amazing, how on earth can you worry? Do not worry. We all do it. Do not worry. Because if you involve God, why on earth are you worrying? And he encourages us to focus our attention on good things. Whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is excellent, whatsoever, etc., etc., etc. I thought, how can I encourage people to remember them? Well, a little mnemonic. Mnemonics are always good. If you look through them, alter the order a little bit, and they encourage you to replant. The first letters of all his exhortations in this verse is replant. And replant means getting the roots back in the soil, giving yourself something to grow in. And if you're communicating with someone else and you want to encourage them to know Christ as you know them, become a planter. Same letters. And Paul is saying, that's what we should be like. And I think it would be a tremendous testimony as Christian people if we could communicate to the world who how we are, that we are not worriers. And finally, there is a reward, but we won't understand it. That's the thing. Paul says we will have peace which transcends understanding. It goes beyond what we would understand. So we shouldn't expect to feel the reward for not worrying and for being a planter and so on and so forth. We won't understand it. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then again, must be quite important, because in verse 9, Paul repeats it. And the God of peace will be with you. Pretty relevant, I think, to Remembrance Sunday. So five things that we would be encouraged to do, five ways to live, and we trust, because we won't understand until we do them, but the peace of God will be in there, guarding our hearts and with us. Is that brief enough? Okay. Thank you for listening.